איך נראה נרמול היחסים עם איחוד האמירויות מהצד האמירתי? כדי לענות לשאלה זו זימנתי לרעיון עבודה את אבדאללה, תושב איחוד האמירויות, ומי שעומד מאחורי חשבון הטוויטר, איחוד האמירויות בעברית.
רעיון עבודה, הסקט הניהול שיווק וקריירה. בכל פרק, חוקרים, מנהלים ומומחים, חולקים איתכם תובנות מעשיות המבוססות על ניסיון, מחקר או נתונים. עורך ומגיש, חוקר הנתונים, דוקטור בוריס גורל. בואו נתחיל.
אבדאללה הוא תושב איחוד האמירויות, הוא הקים ומתחזק את חשבון הטוויטר איחוד האמירויות בעברית, שמטרתו לקרב בין האמירתים לישראלים בפרט, ובאופן כללי להביא יותר רוגע וידידות למזרח התיכון. מאחר וחשבון הטוויטר לא מייצג אדם ספציפי, אלא רעיון כללי, אבדאללה בחר לשמור על ערפול מסוים לגבי זהותו, ולא לחשוף יותר פרטים על עצמו, ואנחנו כמובן נכבד את זה. אבדאללה מדבר וכותב בעברית, אבל את הרעיון הזה נעשה באנגלית. Shalom Abdallah, ahlan fik.
Shalom alaikum.
So, is there anything else that you want to add to what I said that I missed about you, about your goals?
Well, nothing really. Like you said, my goal for this account was to create like a bridge between for the Israelis to like see the UAE in their language, for me to promote the country in Hebrew.
Excellent. In this case, let's start our conversation, shall we? הפרק בחסות Work Plus, מתחם עבודה משותף שמאפשר לעסקים לצמוח. המתחם כולל מגוון עשיר של מרחבי עבודה לעצמאים וחברות, משרדים מעוצבים, open space רחב, חדרי ישיבות, אולמי הרצאות וסדנאות, קליניקה קסומה למטפלים, ובעיקר קהילה של אנשים איכותיים שמצליחים יחד. עובדים מהבית וחולמים לגדול, התקשרו עכשיו ל-Work Plus. 1-770-60-41. So I think that the first thing it would be a logical question would be that I will ask you to tell me a bit more about the Twitter account that you're running, when you started it and why.
I first created it after I've completed my university exams during Ramadan. I wanted to create the account because I noticed there was like many Emiratis and Israelis, they were becoming more warm about each other before normalization was announced. I didn't know then, by the way, that it would happen, but I thought maybe I could like create an account and create an account for Israelis to look at, because I understand there's going to be the expo in Dubai, and I thought maybe they can, if possible, if they will be allowed later to like visit the country permanently, they could like have more places to visit.
So if I understand correctly, this is a completely private initiative, not sponsored by any governmental body. Is it right?
I thought the idea myself.
Oh, cool. And so, and did you learn Hebrew before the Twitter or before this Twitter account or for it, or I don't know?
Well, to be fair, I'm still actually learning Twitter because I have a lot of work right now related to something like that. The majority of my tweets are translated by Hebrew, but I do understand some Hebrew as a result of watching some shows on, especially on Netflix. There were a couple of good shows, Fawda and Hashot Arhatov, those two especially. And the recent one I watched was Tehran, which was quite interesting. So I know a little bit of Hebrew as a result.
Cool. So I learned Arabic also from watching the Haibe show about.
I see.
I see. So and so you said you started it a little bit before the normalization. How long before that it was?
Let's see here. Let me just quickly take a look. I think it was around May, I believe, and this happened late May. And yes, late May, and the normalization occurred in early August. So it came to my surprise when I found out that we were going to be normalizing.
Yeah. Interesting. So at least from here, it looks like for us, the Israelis, that most, if not all, the Arab countries are very authoritarian, maybe strict. Was it risky for you to do this activity before you knew that the normalization is about to emerge?
No, I wasn't doing anything. I did not consider myself doing anything wrong. I'm merely showing I'm really showing my country in a good manner in Hebrew, which is a language I felt not much information is available. And I thought, as a local Emirati, I wanted to show my country. So I actually have nothing. I'm not doing anything wrong or anything. Like, I feel very safe about doing this. The reason why I'm only not showing my revealing my name or anything is because some people online might be stupid, but I just want to like keep this a private thing.
Yeah, I totally understand this. I mean, it took me too a while before I decided to, expose myself as myself to the internet, and sometimes it feels a little bit scary, but yeah, I can totally connect to this. By the way, did you already meet Israelis from the already like going back and forth to the Emirates from since the normalization?
Well, unfortunately, I have not. As I've noticed, the majority of the Israelis are going to Dubai because that's where the only flights are available. And Abu Dhabi has, where I live right now, some travel restrictions in place. Anyone who wants to come into the Abu Dhabi from the has to go through, get like a do like a COVID-19 test and do a repeat the same th the test in the third, fourth, and seventh days as well. Also, from what I understand, from what I've heard from somebody I know, because I used to work as a volunteer at a screening center, the information might be a bit old, but from what I understand, like in order for a foreign visitor to come into Abu Dhabi, they must be in the country for I think around 14 days before testing come in. So I understand why it may not be much people, but I expect next year to see more Israelis coming to Abu Dhabi, especially if they're gonna drive in from Dubai because it's super close, like an hour and a half drives away.
Really?
Yeah.
So maybe, it's funny that you mentioned it because for us, the Emirates sounds like one single state. And when you are talking about Abu Dhabi and Dubai, so can you please tell us a little bit more about how, so the division between the individual states in the Emirates and what is the role of the Emirates as the country, as the biggest, like the federal unit?
Well, the Emirates, the United Arab Emirates is, as you stated, a federation of seven Emirates. I'm just gonna pull out a map. Just wanna show you. Just wanna see if I can just show you the map of the Emirates in Hebrew. And let's see here. Hold on a second. Here it is. Can you please just enable screen sharing if it's
Yeah, of
possible?
course, of course. It's one of the most
Thank you.
frequent sentences in this decade,
All right,
right?
now I just want to please make a quick note that the map might be a bit that the map is a little bit outdated, and I'll explain later. So here we go. Okay, so here's the map of the United Arab Emirates. It is, as you can see, a union of seven Emirates. Each of these Emirates, they have their own royal families. Capital
Okay.
city is Abu Dhabi, which is also the capital of the Abu Dhabi Emirate, which is the largest in the federation. This is also the Emirate I call. This is also the city which I live in and call home. And as you can see, there are also seven other Emirates as well. Now,
Yes.
regarding the question about how each emirate functions, now it is a federation, meaning that each emirate has its own royal family, as I've stated, and that also means they have their own local governments and authorities, stuff like that. There is union. We have the same currency. People can drive in and out without any problems. But as it is a federation, we have like laws similar to the US, whereby we have federal laws and also local laws.
I see.
And one thing I'd like to note is if you can look up here, the Northern Emirates, you
Yes.
can see that it's quite an interesting thing, like having Shar seeing Sharjah, like having parts in the east and Fujairah and Ras Khaimah being divided in two. This is because the back then there wasn't really like any physical or marked boundaries. People back then they went and go as they pleased, and people would often just like ask when asked like who is their sheikh, they will just like respond to their responding sheikh. So you can see, for example, Ajman, they have like a small center in between Sharjah and Fujairah, and even one
Oh,
near Amman.
interesting.
So it's like
So,
more.
just one note for our listeners, because this is mostly consumed as a podcast, as an audio, but the video will be available on YouTube, so you can watch on this. Yeah, so we can see
Sure.
that, yes, several individual states have like enclaves are not. Does it bother them? I mean,
Not
is
really.
it
It's not
common?
really an issue. I mean, whenever I went, when I traveled there, I never really noticed any major differences. The only difference is municipality. There isn't any major problems at all. People can travel without any problems there or any problems like that.
Okay, and so and let's say I'm an Israeli and I want to do business with an Emirati company. Does it matter for me whether the company is located in Abu Dhabi, Dubai, or any other individual state, or is just the policy the same?
Well, I'm not a businessman, but it really depends on who you, where you want to do your business in, like what sector. Now, each of these Emirates, they offer unique things, unique enterprises. Dubai is a global city, so the international connections are important. Ras Al Khaimah, I believe there's a steel industry up there, and has fisheries. Abu Dhabi is the, which is the largest Emirate, has a massive energy, had massive energy sector. So we have like, we have like solar power and even a nuclear power, which was recently opened. So it really depends on what you want to get out of the UAE. If you're going to go solely for business, I would recommend Abu Dhabi or Dubai. The other Emirates, I'm not quite sure, but I'm sure they have good reasons, good things to offer as well.
But in terms of, so you were talking about mostly about the division, the geographical division of types of businesses. But in terms of, I don't know, business culture or maybe
Business
local
culture.
laws, yeah.
When it comes to business culture, I would say that people want to know who you are. They want to sit down with you, go have lunch with you. Like they want to be friendly with you first before we can do any investment. Because think about it, it's I consider it very crucial for me to know the person, sit down with them, talk to them. You know, just like get on very friendly terms personally before we do anything in business. Because it'll be like a good way to ensure trust and a trust and a good relationship, business relationship.
So, if I want to do business with you, is it a good idea for me to ping you and say, "Well, would you like to have a dinner with me? I have
Of
something interesting
course,
to
we
show."
should.
Yeah.
What we need to get to know each other first before we can do anything. We need to like have a good understanding of one another, how we think, how we think, our stories. We can like make sure like there's a strong connection before like we go through. As UAE, it's a country that has wants to have good relations with everyone, and as a result, like we have good relations, for example, with the US, Britain, China, Russia, like with many other countries, and that is as a result of us like getting to know them very well. They know the countries very well.
Interesting. So you know what? It's just a small curiosity, but I was thinking to visit a person in Jordan back before the pandemic, and I was thinking about a small present to bring them. And so, if he would not be a Muslim person, I would bring maybe a bottle of nice wine. But you know. It would, he's a Muslim, it will certainly offend him. So, if I want to, if I meet you for the first time and I want to bring a small person, like a token of appreciation, and wine or whiskey is not an option, what would it be?
Well, whenever I travel or whenever somebody travels, one thing people would always do either like, and this is like from person from like for between family and friends, is sometimes like give us perfume bottles because we love perfume here. We use it a lot. Whenever I go out, I use it sometimes when I'm at home. I also like spray myself with some perfume just like make myself smell nice. So it's a very good, it's a common but very good gesture. Another thing you can do is like offer like interesting gifts, like maybe like some foods or stuff like dates or cav or maybe like caviar or stuff like that.
Caviar is not kosher, so
Oh, it isn't? Wow.
no. The red one is, the black one isn't. So yeah.
I see. Well, like I said, just like bring something like interesting. Like I think, for example, some people would bring dates, others would bring like perfume bottles or like an interesting gift or stuff like that.
Interesting. I didn't think of it.
Perfume,
Well, thank
especially, you're
you.
guaranteed to work well.
Oh, thank you very much. So, you know, another cultural thing that I noticed was that I think that me and many other Israeli friends, we tend to think of ourselves like we are Middle Eastern and we are very straight and straightforward and very direct. And I was sure that, you know, our Arab neighbors are pretty much the same. But then I, especially when I started learning Arabic, I started learning that the culture is a little bit more less direct, and the politeness is much more important than I used to think. Is it so?
Well, it's more about it being hospitality and kindness are essential. It's very important that when you meet someone, that kindness is shown to them and generosity, and yeah, be generous with them.
Yeah, but in terms of like the, like you know, if you go to Italy and you say hello to the hotel owner, he will just hug you and your wife, and that's how they do it. So in terms of like maybe the physical contact, how is it the etiquette in the Emirates and the Gulf and in the Arab world generally?
Well, for me, whenever I go to like any like wedding, big event or majlis, for example, whenever anyone comes in, we would all, everyone would just stand up. The person who came in would shake everyone's hands before they could be seated. If a person is an older, someone like old, like a senior, we would all get up and go shake hands with him before, and then let him sit, let him take one of our seats if he wishes. Because the and when it comes to majlis etiquette, the older people get priority seating.
So can you elaborate a little bit more? What is a majlis?
A majlis is a traditional Arabic sitting area. Many houses, including many houses in the UAE, the Middle East, have houses dedicated to receiving guests. Majority of the time, they are integrated. So there's one for the men and one for the women. Sometimes the men would have like a small external building which they can sit in, and the women can get the main house. And if it's like a more, if it's like a close family, it would be more, they would have the, they would have a gathering in one majlis instead.
I see. So what happens if, let's say, a businesswoman or, I don't know, some manager or developer who is happens to be a woman and she needs to meet an Emirati man, should she offer her hand for a handshake, or is it like it might be awkward for a person to shake hands with a woman?
I can't say it can be awkward. Some people are okay with it, others are not. My best advice for a woman is to just, you know, like... put the hand in the heart, just like make a nice gesture. Because it really depends on the individual. Because some men they'll be okay with it, others they will not. They will not. Most of the case, like as you can see, like if you can look at the some government officials, they, it's okay. They shake hands between the two, but some others don't. So it really depends.
Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty much similar to what we have here with the in Judaism and people who are observing their religious customs.
Exactly. Some people, they do not like come in physical contact with women they're not related to out of because of their religious beliefs. I myself, I'm one of them.
Okay. Yeah. It's totally understandable. So another very question that I'm very curious about is how do the Emirati or the you know, the Gulf people perceive Israelis who are not Arabs, who don't speak Arabic as their native language, but try to speak Arabic because they learned a little bit. And
well, I can't say, yeah.
Yeah, so the reason I'm asking it, because here in Israel, you know, we have 20% of the Israeli population are Arabs, but all of them speak Hebrew and almost none of the Israeli Jews speak Arabic. So it's a little bit nonsense to try to speak Arabic even because it's much harder. And so on the other hand, if you look at movies like the Egyptian movies, you see whenever there is an Israeli who speaks Arabic, he is mostly an intelligence officer or a villain or both, you know. So is there any antagonism? Should we try it at least? Should we?
Well, it we do. Well, I will say it is, when it comes to Israel in particular, some people, some old generation in particular, they're still a bit they're suspicious. They don't forget normalization just happened just now, and there are some people who don't necessarily agree with it or just find to be a taboo subject. I don't, like any other person who visits the country, I do encourage people, if they can, to learn the Arabic if they can. It's not mandatory. The majority of people here speak English. I myself speak more English than Arabic here as well. But it is very nice to learn the language, especially the local Emirati dialect, which will get you which will make, get you in good to, warm relations with the local Emiratis.
I see. And so, yeah, you know what you said about the older generation and the normalization and such. So it looks like sometimes
because you have to, have to remember that many people they grew up during the 60s and 70s and 80s, and they did not have a positive view of the Egyptians. You have to also of the Israelis, sorry.
Yeah.
But like some things are still in their minds, the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War. So it is what is the I can say like the local the people here, the older generation. I can say like everyone here when the normalization came, we all are in agreement with the government because we view this as a good interest to our country as well as our policies for the region. Although it will be a bit shaky right now for some people, it'll eventually warm up. So it just the most important thing is just contact between peoples. I think from that it'll be much better.
So a keen contact and letting the time pass by, right?
Yeah, like some people, they're just a bit like they still like remember, but it eventually it'll change.
No, inshallah, let's hope. So you know, and before we started recording, I mentioned the Israeli former diplomat. He is now a politician, Eli Avidar, and he was Israeli consul, I think, in Qatar in 2000. And he wrote a book. Its name in English is The Abyss. It's Hatehom in Hebrew, and where he mentioned the fact that most of the connections, most of the relationship between the Israelis and the Arab companies, I'm not talking about politicians, even the private companies, had to be kept in secret. So, and it brings me to what you just said. Is it still the case? Is it a good idea to keep communications in secret before?
Well, it is important to note that, like I said, the normalization just occurred like a few months
right.
ago. So it'll take time for the relationship to build, for tensions just to cool down a little bit, because right now, don't forget, after the UAE, we got three other countries. They also agreed to normalize, so it's gonna be probably a bit of a long process, but it'll eventually grow.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the recent agreements, you can see, like for example, UAE and Israel, they've signed numerous agreements in science, sports, education, health, and it'll like just to like formalize it. So stuff like this could help like warm up the peoples.
I see. So in this case, is there anything other than you already said that you know you would like to see, to have us the non-Arab Israelis know about UAE and Arab culture in general that you think we still don't know or we should keep in mind?
Well, I would like that. Let me see here. I guess it's important to note that the Arabic, for example, it is indeed one language, but it also has multiple dialects. So, for example, here in the we have a dialect which has the word cha and ga in it. We use it whenever we speak to it locally with a local dialect. And also, like there's also different kinds of cuisines. So, for example, here in the UAE, a lot of the expats here are from India. And as a result, we have some Indian cuisine within our diet. Like, for example, biryani is very popular, tandoori, and other Indians. Chai, karak is also well enjoyed here by the Emiratis. So you can see, like, we'll have a bit of a fusion in our dishes. Also, for our culture, we're also, like, many of the people here are Bedouins or pearl divers. This was in the past, of course, but the many families do still maintain good relations with good connections with their roots. That's why many of them would often go to the fishing or into the seas as a hobby, or even go into the desert. I myself have went to the desert from time to time with my family and friends, just to, you know, just go desert duning. So falconry also plays a key role in our culture, as I posted recently in my Twitter account, the national symbol of our country, and many people do own falcons. Traditionally, it has been used for hunting, but now people they often train it for like They often still do training for like hunting as well, but there's also like competitions and even like a hospital and a passport's prepared for the carrying of the falcons.
Is it possible to view those competitions? Are they frequent?
I personally do not know them. I've personally never been to any of them, but if you go to any of the falconry stores, you can see like there are a lot of falcons being trained and prepared. And also when the season is right, like normally in the winter, you would find some people training their falcons in the desert.
So, like some people have a pet dog at home, some have a pet
Yeah,
falcon.
they have a pet falcon. Yeah, there's I know one guy. He owned three. He had like three falcons.
Interesting. It's
Yes,
such a
so
nice
falcon bee is a
animal.
major. It's a major thing. It's not, you won't find it like every day, like people every day people do, having
Yeah,
a falcon at
obviously.
home. But it is a interesting hobby.
Yeah.
The same can be also be said about camels as well.
Oh, the camel racing is also, I heard,
Yes,
is a
camel
thing.
racing is also popular here. There's horse racing, yes, but there's also like camel racing.
So I don't know if it was in Emirates. I saw one place, the camel racing, where the jockeys were not humans but robots.
Yes, that is how the jockeys are. Back then, I think they used to be like humans, but I think like in the late two th in the early 2000s, I believe they banned the use of humans because the and they replaced it with bots. And normally, and as a result, many owners of the camels or horses even, they would often like drive alongside the camels. So whenever we have one race between the camels, and on the sides we have races between the owners, and they would get like super close and just like yell commands to the horse to the camels while at the same time like using the bot as well.
Oh, so it can be a good idea for joint startups for the artificial intelligence and machine learning and stuff to make better camel
But
jockeys.
here's the thing, these are very like big races, because many of the camels, they're like worth a, they can be worth a lot. I think like one case of camels like maybe worth like half a million dirhams.
Idea is that you summarize. Maybe take one idea that you want the listeners to know about your country, but this it has to be one sentence and a practical one. What should it be?
In the UAE, nothing is impossible.
Wow.
As many things we because you can see in less than 50 years we've come into a developed country. At first we were a desert nation, not much infrastructure, not much roads or schools. And within the past 50 years we've become a nation that's economically diversified. We can see now that oil now makes up around 30-ish percent of our economy. And we also have other sector vital sectors, defense, energy, IT, for example. I'm an IT ma I've majored in information technology, so it's going to be a major part of our country. So one thing you will note about the UAE is that we are focusing very heavily on our future, because we know eventually oil will run out. So we want to prepare our economy to be well strong after that oil is gone.
This is a strong message. Okay, thank you very much for this message. And the really final thing, I'm sure that our listeners might want to follow you on Twitter, and your account on Twitter is UAE in Hebrew. Is there any other place that our listeners can contact you? How can they
Well,
do
you
that?
can, if you want, just send email to my email account, which is at UAEinHebrew@gmail.com. Wow,
And
UAEinHebrew@gmail.com.
I will add it also to the notes. Okay. So thank you very much again. Todaraba,
Todaraba.
shukran. And if you visit Israel, I hope I will be able to interview you in person and ask you about what you think about our small and the country that nothing is impossible here.
We'll see. I hope to
Yeah.
visit.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you
Goodbye.
very much.
הרשמו להסקט בספוטיפיי, אפל מיוזיק, גוגל פודקאסט וכל פלטפורמת הסקטים אחרת. הצטרפו לדיון בפייסבוק בעמוד רעיון עבודה. עורך ומגיש דוקטור בוריס גורלי, חוקר נתונים ויועץ בתחום הדאטה. משתמע בפרק הבא.